delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Here come the jesters. One, two, three.
Good morning. It's 6:45. You're listening to Katie Hyde from Michigan Talk Network, filling in for Steve Gruber all this week. This hour is brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. And as always, we would love to hear from you. And our number is 888-900-9966. Again, if you've got a thought or a comment or you just want to vent, we'll take that too. 888-900-9966. With me on the line is someone we were speaking with before the break. It's Ann Schieber. She's the investigative analyst for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Ann, thanks for hanging with us through the break.
Oh, sure.
Now, before the break, we were talking about these work centers for disabled individuals. You said this program allows them to gain these work skills and autonomy kind of at their own pace, provide services for local businesses. But you said that they've traditionally been exempt from these minimum wage laws, but proposed rules from the Federal Labor Department would end the exemption there. We talked about that before the break. What kinds of centers or charities would be impacted if this gets into place?
Well, certainly a place like the Arnold Center, which is based in Midland, they've been there for several decades, and there's probably several dozen of them, maybe I want to say about a couple hundred in the state, and they exist throughout the country. Many of them are supported through nonprofit charitable organizations. They get donations from the community, but they also get revenue from the businesses that they provide services to. And these are job services that in this day and age can be easily automated or sent overseas. The work could be done by other things. I think these centers and these communities have realized the value of work for disabled individuals and want to make sure that work exists for them for time to come. If these work rules go into effect, it's similar to the challenges of increasing minimum wage laws. You end up decreasing jobs because employers, the money doesn't increase. They have to make job cuts to be able to accommodate those higher wages. And it's hard with these really low-skilled workers in an automated global workplace that we have today to continue to be able to do that.
Well, and that was my next question, this ripple effect, and that's huge. Are there any other small consequences that we would see to propose regulation like this?
Well, I think the feeling behind some of these changes is that these disabled workers are automatically going to get minimum wage jobs or higher paying jobs just because the work rules go into effect. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to leave these centers and then go try to find work in these traditional settings, and it's just not going to happen. You know, businesses have a bottom line to look at, and they have to look at productivity, and if they're not in the business of charity. They can do it through these centers in this very deliberate way. And it's, like I said, it's worked for several decades. And these workers look forward to being able to have a stable place of employment where they can have some control over their productivity and wages and know that they've got a place to go.
Absolutely. We're on the line with Ann Schieber. She's the investigative analyst for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. And Ann, I'm reading another article that you had worked on. It's the one titled Yet Another Photocop Traffic Ticket Scheme. What's up with that?
Boy, I think since the last couple of years, since I joined the Mackinac Center, these proposals have come up three or four times, I would say, for unmanned traffic monitoring devices. That's a nice word of saying traffic cameras. Michigan prohibits traffic cameras because when you get a civil infraction in the state, a police officer has to witness the behavior and handwrite you a ticket. We have banned traffic tickets because we, unlike a lot of states, because of this very law. But under these two bills that are being considered by the state Senate, we are perhaps on the line for a massive scheme that would permit hundreds of state and local government to create what they call private-public partisanship. P3s is what they call them. And we have those right now, but under these bills, it would propose a broad authority to local governments and state government to set up these programs. And that could open the door for unmanned traffic devices.
Well,
in this form of toll roads.
Right. And I'm, you know, you have the money issue. You also have this powder keg of this relationship between citizens and police in this country. We've got Baltimore, we got Ferguson, we have Chicago. You can name half a dozen other places. What kind of message is that sending?
Well, the thing about the traffic cameras is they're very well documented in having a number of problems. Several states have banned them now because of the numerous problems in their enforcement. Nobody's witnessing these things, and people say they are unfairly caught. Many of them involve red lights. We've had instances where the lights, to be able to, they would cut down the yellow light times so that people would be caught driving through a red light and getting a ticket sent to them in the mail, having really little recognition or memory of what they did. So there's lots of problems. Under this bill, what it would happen is that, let's say a local government wanted to fix a local road. What they could do is, under this bill, they would be able to work with a private partner who would then take care of the maintenance of the road and the operation of that road, and they'd be able to toll roads. And a lot of them would probably use these unmanned traffic devices. It's mentioned right in these bills. And so if you get caught not paying the bill, or you run through the toll, you don't recognize it or whatever, we've all been in those situations. Nobody intends to beat tolls, but sometimes that happens. And under this bill, you can get a letter in the mail saying, boy, we're going to fine you $100 because you didn't pay the toll, and we can have the ability to take away your property, your car. We can garnish you your paychecks if you don't pay these things. It gives them very broad authority to enforce these tolls, and it can cause lots of problems for motorists.
Yeah, broad authority is not something that I think a lot of people want at this point. Ann Schieber, she's the investigative analyst for Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Have a great morning. Thank you for having me.
You too. It's 6:52. You're listening to Katie Hyde filling in on The Steve Gruber Show.